Now we're holding in Nedarim on page 124, Ois Chaf Dalet. We started learning yesterday about Bikur Cholim in connection with the case where a person makes a neder not to have hana or not to give from somebody else or not to give his own hana to somebody else. So the Mishnah had mentioned how that impinges on the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So now the Gemara has gotten into a long piece of Agadah on the subject of Bikur Cholim. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Bikur Cholim ain lo shir. There's no limit. There's no set amount for Bikur Cholim. My English shir, so what does that mean? So Rabbi Yosef thought that meant to say that there's no limit to the reward that a person can get from the Eivishta for that. Only Abai says, and what the v'chola mitzvahs mi yesh shir l'matan schoron? Why does that imply that other mitzvahs there is a limit? V'hatnan, we learn in Pirkei Avos, have a zohar b'mitzvah kala k'v'mitzvah chamura. Be as careful with a seemingly minor mitzvah as a bigger mitzvah. She'enat yedei matan schoron shal mitzvahs. You never know what the reward is for mitzvahs. Every mitzvah, after all, is a ritzonim v'chachmasi shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even what we consider to be a small one might really be a big one, and vice versa. There are a couple of mitzvahs where the Torah does give the schar, but actually the Gemara points out, for example, you have Kibbud Av Ve'Em is a very difficult mitzvah, and the reward for it is Arichos Yomim, and Shiluach HaKan is a very easy mitzvah, and the reward is also Arichos Yomim. So you really see that you can't figure that kind of thing out. And the idea is, the Medrash says, because based on this Mishnah, that if people knew what Matan Schoron was, if they knew that some mitzvahs get a greater reward than others, then everybody would focus on those, and they would neglect the ones that have a lesser reward. Anyway, Elo Amar Abaya. So rather, Abaya says what it means is afilu gadol etzo katan. Means that even a greater person should be going and visiting a lesser person. He shouldn't think it's beneath my dignity to go visit this person. The mitzvah, when we say ein lahem shir, it means the mitzvah is equally with the lesser people and the greater people. Rava Omar. Rava gives another explanation. I feel a mea pomim by yom. It means there's no limit to the number of times a day that you can visit, and it'll do some good even 100 times a day. Tani Nami Hochi, and in fact, we learn like that in a Braisa, like both of them, like both Abaya and Rava, Biko Cholim Ein Lo Shir, I feel God Lights O'Cotton, but I feel a mea pomim by yom. So what Abaya and Rava are each saying is in fact borne out by a Braisa. Marsha points out that now we have every day in morning davening in brachas we say Elu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shir, where the first part of that is taken from a Mishnah in Peah, and the rest of it is taken from a Braisa in Masechta Shabbos. We do that so that way, as soon as we've said Birkas HaTorah, we're learning something from Torah Shebichsav, which is the Pesukim of Birkas Koyanim, and something from both major parts of Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnah and Gemara. So it lists over there Elu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shir, and Bikur Cholim is not on there. So in fact, the Rash on the Rabbeinu Shimshon, who wrote a Pirush on most of Tzedek Zeroyim, asks, how come, based on our Gemara, it should be listed? So Marsha points out that no, because when we say Ein Lahem Shir in that Mishnah, what it means is things where there's no minimum monetary obligation for them. Minator, for example, Peah, Minatora, a person can be Yotze with one stalk of grain or one stalk of produce or whatever for the entire field. Midrabanan has to be minimum 1/60. The same thing the other ones, Vara Oyen, Peah, Vabikurim, Vara Oyen, all of them, Minatora, you can be Yotze with any amount, and Midrabanan, there are minimum amounts. Here we're not talking about the financial obligation. Here we're talking about what we're saying over here in terms of lesser and greater people, and in terms of how many times a day to visit. But in any case, Marshall says, listen, I mean, it mentions Gemilas Chasadim and Bikur Cholim, like we talked about yesterday, is one aspect of Gemilas Chasadim. The Rambam, in fact, which we learned yesterday, the Rambam doesn't count Bikur Cholim as a separate mitzvah, or Halvayas Hames, or any of the many other things that it mentions in that Mishnah, because they're all in the category of Gemilas. All you have one general mitzvah to do Gemilas Chasadim, and that includes these various subcomponents of it. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rab Acha bar Chanina, Kolam Vakar Es Achoyla, a person visits a sick person, Noitel Echan Meshishim Mitzayroi. He takes away 1/60th of the sick person's pain. So Abaya says, well, in that case, if every person is taking 1/60th in pain, La'ilu Shitin Gavri V'leik Muhu, then let him have 60 visitors and he'll be better. So Rava explains to him, first of all, there's two things. Number one, it doesn't mean each one takes away 1/60th of what was there originally. Each one takes 1/60th of what was left after the previous one. This is called a Saraisa de Rebbe, the tenths of Rebbe, as the Gemara is going to explain. In the next couple of lines, we have a din involving a man leaves a Yerusha to his sons, and his daughters have yet to get married. So there's a din. We touched on it a little bit when we were learning in Yaakov and Ksubas, that there is by default, we assume that one tenth of the Nechasim should be earmarked for each girl's wedding for her, which will cover her wedding expenses and Nadin and so on and so forth. So, but each one is where each one. Suppose that all 10 of them come at one time. All 10 of them are ready to get married now. So what we do is the eldest daughter gets one-tenth, and the next one gets one-tenth of what's left, and so forth, and then they divide it between them, as the Gemara is going to go on to quote over here from Ksubas. So that kind of thing, where you have progressively less. The first one gets 10%, which is 10 out of 100, let's say. The second one gets 10% of what's left. So 10 out of 90, which is going to be, she gets 9. The next one gets 1/10 of what's left out of 81, which is going to be 8.1, and so forth, progressively less. That kind of thing, where that kind of mathematical progression, the Gemara calls it Suraisa de Rebbe. It's like the tenths of Rebbe. So the same thing over here. The first person takes away 1/60. The second one takes away 1/60 of what's left. The third one, 1/60 of what's left after that. So yeah, if you have 60 visitors, you can calculate it mathematically. And the Mefarish over here, printed under Rashi's name, points out that after if 60 such people would visit him, then he'd end up with around 1/3 of his illness would be left. Around 2/3 of it would have been taken care of. And if you have a few hundred people visit him, then you can get rid of 99% of it. But that's first of all. So that's first of all. So it's not going to work with only 60. And second of all, Abaya says, second of all, in order for it to be effective in the first place, it has to be that the person who's visiting him is a ben giloi. Now, in modern Hebrew, gil means the age, so it would mean somebody who's from the same age, who was the same age as him. But in Gemara terminology, ben giloi means somebody who was born under the same mazel as him. So therefore, so he has the special ability, he has the special affinity with the choila, where therefore he's able to take away some of his illness. And in fact, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says in Eilu Metzias, not only does he take away 1/60, but he brings it on himself. He himself ends up with 1/60 of the illness that the guy had when he came to visit.
That means that the first one to come is making the biggest mitzvah.
So the first one to come is accomplishing the biggest thing. Yeah, yeah. You have a number of other examples of that kind of progression in Shas. There's another explanation. There's an explanation, for example, Tosfos, I think, mentions in one place, the Gemara says that if a person takes psia gasa, a person takes big steps, then it weakens their eyesight by 1/500th. So you have the same question. Does that mean a person takes 500 such steps, they're going to be blind? So one of the answers is that it means like this Isuraisa de Rebbe. The first step takes 1/500th, the next one 1/500th of what's left, v'chol v'chol.
Even if 60 people come at the same time, right?
So first of all, so our show explains, in other words, that now when we say at the same time, it's not really going to have realistically that all 60 of them are going to come at the same time, but more to the point, it's not only that it's going to be hard to find 60 people to come at one time, more likely they're going to come one after the other, but more to the point, Abaya's second criteria, which is that they need to be bnei giloi, how likely realistically are you going to find 60 bnei giloi? Or any number of bnei giloi. So therefore, it's not that likely to happen. The Shittim Ukubetzis, by the way, has a very interesting explanation of bnei giloi, of ben giloi over here. Besides that we're saying over here that it means somebody was born under the same mazel as him, it means it also, in English you have the expression for it, a kindred spirit, like somebody who's on the same wavelength as you. So therefore, such a person, Taki, he comes to visit the sick person, it really helps. They're on the same page. They're able to understand each other, and therefore that helps a great deal more than if you have some random person who doesn't really know him. So what do we mean? Isuraisa de Rebbe? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa in Masechta Ksuvos. Rebbe, a mebasani zonis menichse achim, a daughter who's being supported out of the estate that was inherited by the sons. So again, the father passed away; he left an estate to his sons. She's being supported by them until she's old enough, until she's either a begeres or she gets married, as the case may be. They tell us isu nechosim, so then she's entitled to take 1/10 of the nechosim to use towards her wedding expenses. So Omrula Rebbe, so the Chacham asked Rebbe, According to your logic, you're saying 10%. So if he has, so if he left 10 daughters and one son, you're going to tell me the son's going to be left with nothing because each of the 10 girls, each of his 10 sisters is going to take one tenth of the nechasim. So he explains, this is how I say it. What I mean by one tenth, the first girl takes one tenth of the nechasim, the second one takes just 10% of what's left, which again would be nine out of the original 100, let's say. The third one takes 8.1 out of the original 100. And so they go down the line like that. Now, once the 10 of them have collected those Isu Nechosim, each one has collected her 10th, then we pool it all together and each one gets her gets an equal portion out of it. This is the Gemara explains in Ksubas. This is when they're all coming to get married at the same time. If they're getting married one after the other, then no, we don't pool it. Then each one gets her Isu Nechosim in her time. And the Gemara discusses if there are many other details. It's not necessarily, it's always Isur Nechasim. It can depend, for example, if he gave explicit instructions, if we know what kind of person he was, generous versus stingy, if he married off any daughters during his lifetime, then we see what kind of style did he marry him off then, and then we evaluate based on that. But this is kind of the default. Like, if we don't have any particular way of knowing, then we have this Isur Nechasim business. The point is, again, that the Gemara uses this is an example of this kind of thing where you have progressively less as you go through each step of it. So again, the idea is you're not going to necessarily have that. That you're not going to necessarily have that 60 bnei giloi and they're certainly not going to come all at one time. They're going to come one after the other. If anything, why 160? If Maharal points out, it means a little bit, like batel b'shishim. The Maharal, by the way, makes an interesting point in this connection, b'chlal, about the whole importance of Bikur Cholim. He says, you think about it, the klal, by definition, the klal, the great majority of everything that's in the world is healthy. So when you have a person who's sick, means he's yotzim in a klal. So therefore, what we need to do is we have to have people visit him, especially we're saying over here, b'nei giloi, that helps bring him back into the klal. And once he's back in the klal, then automatically that helps that now his refuah is on the way.
Even if they do nothing, they just visit him.
Just visiting him alone is something, yeah. Maybe this is also the idea behind making a mishaberach for a chola like this. We're also bringing him into the klal. The tzibur is davening for him. That also, based on what the Maharal is saying, maybe that also helps that now he's not just a yochid, now he's part of the klal, and the klal, by definition, is healthy. You have the expression, the Gemara mentions, for example, in some places, which is negei la'alocha, ein tzibur mes. The tzibur never dies. The tzibur is like lahavda, like a corporation. Like a corporation never dies. Even you have, let's say, you know, you take, I don't know, Microsoft, let's say, even when Bill Gates drops dead, Microsoft is still going to continue to exist as it's a corporation. It has like a personhood of its own. So the same way the Jewish people are like a corporation, they continue to exist even as each generation goes.
I think what it also means here, if you take all the people that passed away, then there is more people that were sick than people that are alive, that are not sick. So that's what he's saying. The people that passed away, no, we don't
look at them. We only look at the ones who are alive now. Could be, yeah. Okay. Anyway, fine.
Statistically.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The Gemara continues. Reb Chelboy Cholash. One time Reb Chelboy wasn't feeling well. Nofak Achriz Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana went and made an announcement. Rav Chelboy Boish, Rav Chelboy Boish. Rav Chelboy is not feeling well. Loi Ika Dekalsi, but nobody was coming to be Mavaka Chola. Omalahu, so Rav Kahana tells them, Loi Kachoya Maisa, don't you realize how important it is to visit a sick person? It once happened, but Talmud Echad Mitalmid Reb Akiva Shechola. One time one of Reb Akiva's Talmidim was sick. V'lenichnesu Chachamim Levakrei. The Chachamim did not go to visit him. Why did they not? And why didn't they in Reb Chelba's case? We'll talk about it in a minute. V'nichnes Reb Akiva Levakrei. So Reb Akiva went to visit this Talmud. As a little bit of a milsa de bedichas, I don't know how many of us remember the old Mendy and the Golems from the early Tufshin Mems, but you had there that in one of the early issues they had it was about Bikur Cholim. They portrayed the story of Rabbi Akiva. So they have Rabbi Akiva asking the Talmidim, one Talmud is missing. Where is he? So one Talmud speaks up and says he has a week back. So Rabbi Akiva says, how long has this been going on? And the Talmud says, about a week back. So Rav Akiva went to visit him, because he swept and sprinkled water to lay down the dust in front of him. or Hoya. So that helped. It caused the Talmud to recover. There's a number of different explanations what happened over here. Does it mean that Rabbi Akiva had called in somebody, called in a cleaning lady or whatever to sweep and mop and whatever? Does it mean that Rabbi Akiva himself did it? Does it mean that because Rabbi Akiva is there, the members of the household realize that Rabbi Akiva is here, we have to sweep and mop and everything in his honor? Whatever the case, it helped the Chola. Omalei Rebbe Hechisani, so the Talmud says, Rebbe, you help me live. Yotze Rabbi Akiva v'dorash, so then Rabbi Akiva went out and darshin. Kol she'enim avakir asachoyle ke'ilu shoyfech domim. Anybody who doesn't visit a sick person is as if he's spilling his blood. Because poshet you might have, there are things that the choyle needs. Now, when you visit him, you take care of. Like this, for example, the place was dirty and dusty, and nobody was paying attention, and that wasn't making his condition any better. Like this, when Rabbi Akiva came, he realized what's going on and helped him with that. So, therefore, Rav Kahana is saying the same thing. Rav Chelba is sick. Don't just shirk it. Go and visit him. Now, why taka were people not visiting Rav Chelboy and this Talmud of Rabbi Akiva? So, there's a pirush on Masechta Nedarim called Shalmei Nedarim. He suggests. The Gemara is going to mention later on that there are certain cases where it's better not to visit the sick person. Among them are where the person has certain kinds of illnesses that are going to be embarrassing, for example, stomach trouble, where he's always having to run to the bathroom or even soiling himself or whatever. You might have cases, the Gemara mentions, let's say he has fever and it's hard for him to talk. So it may have been that situation in these cases, and therefore the Talmudim figured better not, but nevertheless, Rav Kahana and Rabbi Akiva before him are pointing out that even then, maybe you don't visit in person, but at least then you do something to check out what's going on and make sure that he has everything he needs.
He's using the word boyish, boyish, boyish.
So the simple meaning of boyish is it
bad
means literally
smell something.
No, well, so it is related to a word for bad smell. It means basically he's in a bad way, he's sick. But actually, the Shalmei Nedarim points out it may also be related to the word boyish, as in he's in a fire, he has a fever. And that would be why the Talmidim, maybe why Rabbi Kahana's Talmidim and Chaverim are not thinking to visit Rav Chelboy, because they figured if he has a fever, it's taken out of time to visit him. But Rav Kahana is telling them, nevertheless, that's not so. Well, the Gemara continues. Ki osir of Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said he was more detailed about it. By the way, I should mention, Mefoshim point out that Bechlau, we use the term Bikur Cholim. Now, Bikur, then one meaning of Bikur is to visit, Poshet, so it means visiting him and helping cheer him up or whatever. But another meaning of Bikur also means to examine and investigate. Like you have, for example, a korban needs Bikur Dalad Yomim Kodim Shchita. You have to check it, make sure it doesn't have any mumim for 4 days before you shecht it. Kevakoras roya edre, like we have in Unasana Tokiv. So it means that poet of Bikur Cholim is also taka to investigate and examine what does the cholim need and what needs to be done for him. It also includes the daven for him, etc. So ki osir of dimi omer kolam avakar as a cholah. A person visits a sick person, gurdim lo shiyichya. Then he causes that he's going to live. But if he doesn't visit a sick person, then he causes him to die. So the Gemara asks, my grumma, where exactly is there a grumma over there? I mean, fine, you can say, like we just said, that he's not helping him, but to go so far as say godem lo shiyomos, that he's causing him to die, it doesn't seem so. Now Maharsha says that okay, so we can answer again, like we just said with Rabbi Akiva, he swept and mopped, and therefore it made him better. But still, the Rabbi Dimi is not mentioning that point. It sounds like Rabbi Dimi is saying just the visiting alone, or the lack of visiting, is gerdim lo sheyichya or sheyomos. And how is that so? How exactly is he gerdim, such a thing? And then a number of the other mafoshim explain other possibilities about what the point of the question is. You could say, for example, Eitz Yosef explains, for example, we said he takes away 1/60th of his illness. We said it was only a Ben Giloy. But you could say, so, and if he wasn't Ben Giloy, then, and he visits him, he's not going to take any of his illness away. And even then, not everybody, let's say, for example, not everybody can sweep and mop themselves, and not always do they have the ability to tell other people to do it. So how can Rav Dimi be saying, as a blanket statement, anybody who doesn't visit, gerdim lo shiyomos? It's going to depend if he's able to do things for him, whether by taking away 1/60th of the illness by being a Ben Giloy, or whether by being able to sweep and mop and whatever, like Rav Akiva, then fine, but if not, then not. So Ela Amo. Now here you have an interesting difference in Girsa. The printed Gemara has Elema, which means if you're going to say, meaning that the Gemara is not modifying what Rav Dimi is saying, it's trying to clarify what he's saying. But the Girsa that the Ein Yaakov has, Ela Amo, means rather you have to say, meaning we're going to change what Rav Dimi is saying. So a person who visits a sick person, one of the things he's doing over there, he's davening for him, for Rachmanos, that he should live. But if he doesn't visit a sick person, then in effect, then he's davening, he's asking for Rachmanos for him, that he should die. So again, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? And if he doesn't visit him, why would he be davening that the guy is going to die? He's not visiting, but he's not Dafka davening for him to die either. Ella, rather, what Rav Dimi means, Kol she'ein mevakas achoyla, if he doesn't visit, ein mevakash olav rachmim, loy she'yichya v'loy shamol yomus. The problem is, he's not asking for rachmonis for him, not that he should live, but not that he should die. Now the Ran gives a very interesting explanation over here about this. It sounds like the Gemara is saying that sometimes it would be better to daven for him that he should die, because here we're saying if he doesn't visit, then he's not doing either one. He's not davening for him to live or to die. So the Ran derives from here a concept. He also refers here to the Gemara in Ksubas that we had not so long ago in connection with the Rebbe, where the maidservant, where the Talmidim were davening for Rebbe to recover, and the maidservant, Amsa Debei Rebbe, realized that Rebbe's condition is hopeless, and she threw down the jug over there and startled them, so they stopped davening for a moment. So the Ran learns from these Gemaras that sometimes it is appropriate to daven for a sick person to die when the situation seems to be hopeless, when Bederech HaTeva, there's no way for them to recover. Now, many Achroinim deal with that and discuss that. One point is none of the poskim bring that. The Ran was a late Rishon. So you would expect there should be something about that, and there should be something about that in Shulchan Aruch, and in the Ramah, and the Nois HaKelim, nothing. So that means so.
It's a conundrum.
So
any way you do, you're going to do it. You either prolong his suffering.
So that's the thing. So you have there was a famous Shaila brought to the famous Goyen Reb Chaim Palachi in this connection, famous Sfardish Gadol from 150 or so years ago, that was in this connection where a woman was asking that they should daven for her to die, and Reb Chaim says maybe based on the Ran over here there was a valid reason to do that. On the other hand, many poskim of the last couple of generations, the Tzitz Eliezer discusses this, or Moshe discusses this, other poskim discuss it and say not necessarily. Just because a person is, even the person is asking themselves, and first of all, if they themselves are not asking, you might even have, for example, the family, for example, are they truly, is it truly because they have rachmanos on their relative, or maybe it's because, you know what, it's being a financial and other burden on them, and you know maybe they're doing it for ulterior motives like that. Even if you know that their motives are pure, nevertheless, is it appropriate to do that? Every moment of life is something precious. We have an halacha, for example, that even a person is gravely ill, or a person was just pulled out of a building collapse or whatever, and they're only going to live a few minutes, you still mechallel Shabbos to do everything you can for them. So based on that, plus the fact that again that the poskim and Shulchan Aruch and the Nois HaKelim b'chlal don't bring the Siran, so a number of the Achronim talk about that. It's very hard to say that such a thing should be accepted in halacha, that there should be any situation where you can daven for a person to die. This also gets into the whole question of withholding treatment for somebody who's almost a goner. Moshe discusses this extensively as well. We know in halacha you're not allowed to do anything to cause them to die, like pulling the plug. But for example, you have other cases where you're allowed to withhold from them something that's prolonging their life. There are lots and lots of complicated shilas about those kinds of things. Look, you know, the Eibishter should help that we don't have to deal with these kinds of things. Anyway. So Maharsha says like this. What it means is that again, if we don't accept what the Ran says, that it means that the Gemara is implying that sometimes it's appropriate for the person to daven for him to die, then rather what it means is like this. So Maharsha explains the flow of the Gemara, if we don't learn like the Ran, would be like this. First, we said that if he visits the sick person, then he's mevakash olav rachmim sheyichya. Look, he obviously loves the person, that's why he's visiting him. So therefore, so taka has an effect. His tefillas have an effect, lamaila, and it helps him to live. If he doesn't visit him, then the assumption is because he doesn't like him and he wants him to die. But then the Gemara says, wait a minute, if he hates the guy, He might well not like him deep down, so therefore he might avoid visiting him. But to go so far as to daven that he should die, that he's not going to do. So therefore, so no, what it means is, if he doesn't visit him, then we're saying that because evidently he hates him, therefore he's not going to daven for him to live or to die. The result is that his lack of davening is going to cause the person to die. Otherwise, he would have davened for him, and his tefillah, it might have been an eis ratzon, and his tefillah would have been heard. So Maharsho explains that that's the flow of the Gemara over here. So we're not saying that it's appropriate to daven for him to die, but rather, like the Ran says, but rather that we're saying that if he hadn't been such a soina, he might have davened for him, and who knows, his tefillah might have made the difference. And now, like this, he didn't do that, and the opportunity has been missed. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Rava, when Rava was not feeling well, Yoyma Kadma de Cholash, on the first day when he was sick, Omalahu, he would tell the members of his family, Loite Galula Inish, don't inform anybody that I'm sick, Dulo Litra Mazoli, because I don't want my mazel to be affected badly. Bris crucibles. Fasayim Marsha brings the idea that the Gemara mentions in some places that there's a covenant with the lips. What a person says has an effect. Lamaila, as we know famously from the Hayom Yom, about the guy who threatened to tear the other guy like a fish. So therefore, if people are saying that Rava is sick, then that itself is going to have an influence and make that taka he's going to be sick. The Shittim Kubetzis explains along similar lines that at that point what they say can have a can be can cause a kitrug on him lamaila. Mikan ve'elach, but after that, if he was still sick the next day, omalahu, then he would tell them, puku achriza b'shuka, go ahead and announce it in the marketplace that Rava is sick. First of all, that way people will visit, and second of all, that way people will daven for him. There was a point, actually, the Yerushalmi mentions in this connection, that other things being equal, it's better not to visit the first couple of days. That's a time for his family to be taking care of him. The exception is the Yerushalmi says that if he became suddenly sick, like all of a sudden out of the blue, then yeah, people can visit him even on the first day. But otherwise, better to wait a couple of days and see how things are going. The Gemara continues. I stopped in the middle of a sentence over here. So he tells them, Pukuach Riza Bishuka Rava Cholash. Go announce in the marketplace that Rava is sick. The Sunile, and Rava says, those who don't like me, Lechti, then they'll be happy about it. Uchtiv, well, you know what? That'll help. The Pasuk says, Binfola Yivchal Tismach. When your enemy is falling, don't be happy. We have this in Pirkei Avos that Shmuel HaKotan says. This is actually a Pasuk. It's actually two Pesukim back to back from Mishlei. Binfola Yivchal Tismach, or Vikoshlei, when he stumbles, Al Yogil Libcha, your heart should not be happy. Pen yira Hashem v'rabe einav. Hashem may see it and it'll be bad in his eyes. Veheshiv me olav apoy, and he will turn his anger from on him. So in other words, the point is, Rava is understanding the pasuk, and some Mephoshim on Pirkei Avos explained that Shmuel HaKotan also learned it that way, that it means that will cause, because here you have Reuven is sick and Shimon is being inappropriately happy about that, therefore it causes Hashem will redirect his anger from Reuven to Shimon. So therefore, Rava says, so that's the good of announcing that I'm sick. This way, if anybody's happy about that, then good. That itself will cause the Eibishter to have Rachmanus on me and to redirect his anger to those who are acting that way. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Rav. Anybody who visits a sick person is saved from the judgment of Gehenna. For a few reasons, Mephoshim talk about, because by him visiting, he motivates the person. He talks to the person and motivates him to do tshuva. So that way, so he saves the other person from Gehenna. So midah k'neged midah, he himself gets saved from it. The person is sick with a fever, for example, which is like the fire of Gehenna. So therefore, he himself gets saved. There's a number of different reasons that Mephoshim explain what the connection is. Eitz Yosef points out another one is also that he himself sees the sick person, that itself, like we talked about yesterday, that itself motivates him, the visitor, to do tshuva, and therefore that itself helps save him from Gehenna.
Since you're in the Yakim, on the back is sick person,
Yeah, we learned that before. He takes away 1/60th. Okay, but at least in some cases, when he takes away the 1/60th, or he continues, or he sweeps and mops like Rabbi Akiva did, or he davens for him, in all those cases, then what happens is, okay, so here's what the Iyun Yaakov explains. Whichever thing it is that he does that makes the other person's condition better, whether he's a Ben Giloy and takes away 1/60th, or whether he sweeps and mops like Rabbi Akiva did, or whether he davens for him like we just said, in all those cases, he contributes then to the other person getting better. Now, the Gemara explains further on that when a sick person gets better, it shows that Moichel and Loyal Kolov in Noisav. It shows that his Averis were forgiven. Well, then, therefore, the person who catalyzed that, who made all of that happen, himself gets saved Midinish Gehenim as well. So here we're saying that's not so simple, but nevertheless, you still accomplish other things. And Befrat, anyway, especially according to the Shittim of Kubetzes, that Ben Giloy doesn't mean that you're literally born under the same mazal, or you're going to go start figuring out what day and time you were born and start figuring out mazalus, but it just means like you're a kindred spirit with him, then fine, you know, make sure to be that kind of person, and then yeah.
He's a stranger.
Okay, so you see if you see what kind of common things you can what kind of commonalities you can find between you. Ben Gila doesn't mean we're not talking about you knew each other your whole life. We're talking about, you know, sometimes you have two people meet and they click. That's Shittim Kabetz says basically that's what we mean by Ben Gila. So Shenema, the pasuk says, "Ashrei maskil el dol." Happy is fortunate is the person who is wise about the poor. Now, in the simple sense, it means, and we learned about this in Ksubas, that it meant the Rif talks about this over here. It means, for example, that when it comes to giving tzedakah, a person has to be smart about it, know how to give it in a way that doesn't compromise the covered and the self respect of the poor person. So on one level, it means that, but on another level, the Gemara is going to understand over here that the dal means a sick person. So a person is wise about how to go and visit and take care of the sick person, which Maharsha says part of the reason for that is because, fine, you need a certain amount of seichel to know how to give tzedakah, but not so much. Whereas when it comes to a chayla, you really need to have a lot more seichel, figure out what's the appropriate things that he needs, which again is a major part of what bikkur chaylam is all about. So you need a lot more seichel to figure out all the to weigh all the different things that need to be done for him. So Ashrei maskil adol, b'yom ra yimalateu Hashem. On a day of evil, Hashem will rescue him. So what does this pasuk mean? Ve'en dal el achoyla. First of all, the word dal in the pasuk refers to a sick person. Shenema, we find with Chizkiyahu, when he was very sick, and then Hashem sent Yeshaya to tell him at first that he's going to die, and then afterwards a nevuah that he's going to recover. So afterwards, Chizkiyahu composes a poem of thanks in honor of Hashem. It's in Sefer Yeshaya, and in one place in it, he says, Midala yivatzeini. From dala, he will cut me. Or he should cut me, which means, in other words, so we're understanding dala to mean sickness. Yivatzeini, Hashem should cut me away from that and make me recover. Mefarshim on the pasuk explain in another sense, dala can mean raised up, like because Chizkiyahu is the king from my high elevation. Yivatzeini, Hashem cut me down. In other words, now all of a sudden I'm very sick and about to lose my life and my kingship. But here the Gemara is understanding it the other way around, that dala is malach from the same shodesh as dal, so it means my sickness.
Was there a complaint against Chizkiyahu HaMelech that he didn't say Shira?
There was a complaint, yeah. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that he should have sang Shira about Sanhedrin's defeat. And
before he got well?
Yeah, the Gemara mentions over there that he should have said Shira about Sanhedrin's defeat, and then he could have been Mashiach, and he didn't, and he missed the opportunity. In fact, there was an explanation someplace, I don't remember where, that says that that's one. These two things happened at the same time. During the last few days before Sanhedrin's army was destroyed, were the couple of days when Chizkiyahu was very sick, and then he had this, and then he had the Sufur B'derech Nes. There's actually some place where it says, I don't remember where, but that was, I think in Yalkut Shimoni or something, I don't remember, but that was one reason why the Ebishta made Chizkiyahu sick at this juncture, so at least he's not going to pray. Praise the Ebishta for defeating Sanhedrin, at least let him praise the Ebishta for something. When we get to Masechta Sanhedrin, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about this more extensively. Or if anybody wants to start joining us for Daf HaYomi in the mornings, we'll be getting to that in about a month, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, anyway. onward. So you have one pasuk where we see that dala means sickness. Inami mehadein kra, or you have another pasuk. This hadein is one of the things we were talking about earlier in the Masechta, where the Rishonim say loshen nedarim mishuna. The terminology in nedarim is all strange compared to the rest of Shas. Usually the usual Bavli expression for that would be mehai kra. Mehadein is more Yerushalmi type expression. Anyway, Mehodein Kra, Maduata Kocha Dal Ben HaMelech. We have in Sefer Shmuel, where Amnon has a taiva for his half sister Tamar, and he can't figure out how he's going to accomplish anything about it. And then his friend, who was actually his cousin Yonadav, tells him, asks him why he's so consumed with his taiva that he becomes sick. And then his cousin Yonah's cousin and then friend Yonadav asks him, Maduata Kocha Dal Ben HaMelech, why are you looking so sick? You the crown prince. So we see also that dal over there means sick. The Nitziv points out, why do we need two psukim? Because the one by Chizkio is talking about somebody is deathly ill, whereas the one by Amnon is talking about a person who's just not feeling so well. Anyway, so we see, but actually maskal dal. So I mean bikre ma, so ve'en ra el gehenim, and the word ra, b'yem ra, yimaltei Hashem, refers to gehenim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kol Po'al Hashem L'matneu. Hashem has created and made everything for His sake. Everything in the world is meant for the honor and the glory of the Eibishter. V'gam Rosha L'yom Ra'ah, and also the Rosha for the day of evil, which means, in other words, that the Eibishter created a Gehenim, so that Rishoyim will land in there, and that way it'll be an object lesson to everybody to learn to follow what the Eibishter says. You have a positive spin on it that the Alter Rebbe gives in Tanya, which we're going to have in a couple of days. Tanya, that Vagam Rosha L'Yom Ra means the Eibishter also created the Rosha, that he has his Yom Ra, he has his day during the time when he does evil, but then he does his Hapcha, and then he makes that Ra into Tova, and the Eibishter created the ability for a person to be a Rosha in order to have that Tainug of his Skafia and his Hapcha. In any case, we see that Ra means Gehenim because it means Vagam Rosha, the L'Yom Ra, that the Rosha is, that the person is, not a person is created with the natural, with the tendency to be a Rosha, Tzadik V'Rosha Lekama, but a person has the ability, the Eibishter gives him, B'chiro Chofshis, to become a Rosha, and he winds up in Yom Ra, and that itself also becomes part of the greater glory of Hashem because it teaches everybody to shape up. Okay, so we see that the Pasuk is saying, in other words, how fortunate is a person who's smart about how to deal with a sick person, El Dol, B'yom Ra, Yimaltei Hashem, Hashem will save him from Gehenim. What?
By the heading of Kapitel Mem Aleph, it says both. Maskil Lashkiach Epitin Spoken, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Then, Hashem Mishem Maskil Alachayla, V'nesel Lem Hashem Tzorech L'Cholia.
Okay, so it means both, sick person and a, so it means a poor person and a sick person, yeah, good. Okay.
Have you heard something like Yom Ra, Yom Ra of the Maskil, as opposed to the sick person?
Well, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The Maskil Al-Dol himself, the person who's wise about how to give proper tzedakah and about how to visit the sick person properly, then B'yom Ra, Yimaltehu, B'yom Ra, on his own day of Ra, where he himself might have wound up in Gehenim, Yimaltehu, Hashem will rescue from him in the schus of the Bikur Cholim that he did. So the Gemara continues, Vim Bikre Maschore. Okay, so if he does visit him, then what's his reward? He wasn't even Maschore Kedamina. We just said what his reward is. Nitzel Medina Shogahenim. El or no? The question is Maschore Ba'olam Azeh. What schar does he get in Olam Azeh? After all, Bikur Cholim, we said before, is part of Gmilas Chasadim. It's one of those things, as we say in morning davening, that Peresayim Ba'olam Azeh Ba'akeren Kayemis La'olam Abba. So there has to be a reward in Olam Azeh as well. What is it? To be saved from Gehenim as a reward in the Olam Amos. Goyen Yaakov also goes into a discussion over here and points out another angle, another meaning of the Gemara's question is, again, all this time we're talking about two things that a person might accomplish with Bikur Cholim for the sick person. He might help him with Gashmius or Beruchnius, or both. He might help him with Gashmius, for example, with the sweeping and mopping, like Rabbi Akiva, or doing other Gashmius sticker things for him. And he may help him with Ruchnius by davening for him, by motivating him to do tshuva, etc. So the question was, for the Ruchnius sticker things that he helps him, then he gets a Ruchnius sticker reward to be saved from Gehenim. What about for the Gashmius? What about if all he did was Gashmius sticker things? Maybe to be saved from Gehenim is not an appropriate reward from that, but at least he should get some kind of Gashmius sticker schar for that, for Olam Hazeh, for the fact that he helped the person with Gashmius. So what is that? Well, as the pasuk continues in that capital, Mem Aleph, Hashem Yishmerehu V'Chayehu, Hashem will save him And Hashem will guard him. Rather, Hashem will guard him, v'chayehu, and give him life. Yushar ba'aretz, actually a kriuk. See, v'ushar ba'aretz is how we read it. And he will be fortunate in the land. V'al titznehu b'nefesh oivav, and we ask Hashem, don't give him over to the desire of his enemies. So now the Gemara is going to darshan phrase by phrase what this means, how these are rewards in olam hazeh. So in Poshet Pshat, the Pasuk is talking about the Dal himself, the poor sick person himself, that Hashem will save him and give him life and so forth, that he won't be abandoned over there. But here the Gemara is explaining that these are the rewards for the maskilol Dal, for the person who helps him and visits him. So Hashem Yishmirehu means mi Yetzahara. Hashem will save him from the Yetzahara. V'chayehu, when it continues, Hashem will give him life, means a Yisurim, that he won't have to suffer Yisurim. V'usha ba'aretz, when it says that he will be fortunate in the land, means shiyu akom mechabdim oisei, means that everybody will be honoring him. So far, all of these things, Marsha points out, a midah k'neged midah. He gave the person life so that he could recover, therefore Hashem himself gives him life. The Yetzirah is a person's internal enemy. So he was a friend and visited. So therefore, the Eibishter helps him against his own internal enemy, the Yetzirah. He helped the person gain life. Therefore, the Eibishter gives him life. He saved the other person from Yisurim. So therefore, he himself is not going to die of Yisurim either. Hakom is scabbed and by, he swept and so forth in front of the poor person, in front of the sick person, so therefore he himself is going to be honored. You have kind of a play on words over here, because he was mechabed, meaning to sweep, and the result is that they're mechabed, that they honor him. A couple of other mafarshim talk about different angles, different variants on that. For example, the fact that he set aside his own dignity and went and swept and mopped for the poor person, therefore people honor him and show him respect and dignity. Anyway, what does it mean, Val titneu b'nefesh oivav, when it says, Hashem, don't give him over to the desire of his enemies? So now, if it just meant, and now Poshet Pshat would mean, in other words, like this, his enemies, are the enemies of a person are always waiting to see when is he going to be defeated, when is he going to have his downfall. So Hashem, don't allow that to happen, so they don't have their pleasure at seeing that. But Marsha points out, the real expression for that would be biyad oivav, don't give him into the hand of his enemies. B'nefesh oivav suggests the desire of his enemies. So that suggests bad advice that they give him because they want him to go bad. They want him to go the wrong way. So that means she's damnele reim kenamon, that he'll have the schus, that he'll have good friends like Naaman, like the Arami general, shirip uhu mitzarato, where they cured him from his tzaras. We have the whole story over there where Naaman has tzaras and he goes to Elisha and Elisha tells him dip 7 times in the Yarden, and he says, if it's just dipping in rivers, I have good rivers in Damascus and I've been trying them all those times, and he leaves in a huff. And then his meshorsim, his avodim, say to him, you know, listen, do you have anything to lose? You would have done anything the Navi told you. He told you the small thing. What do you have to lose? Try it. And he tries it, and sure enough, he gets cured. So now the Mephodish explains over here that the Reim actually refers to Elisha himself, that Elisha, that Naaman came to Elisha, who gave him good advice, but Maharsha says that's a little bit of a doichek. It doesn't mean Elisha, you can't call Elisha a friend of Naaman, it means his avodim, his attendants over there, that they gave him good advice, and he followed it, and Taka helped him. On the other hand, he shouldn't end up with friends like Rechavam, where you have, after Shlomo passes away, the people come to Rechavam and say there's been tremendous taxation and public works projects and everything in Shlomo's times, go easy on us now, and Rechavam consults with his elder advisors, and they tell him, give in to what the people want, and then he asks his younger advisor, and they told him, no, show them who's boss, and he does, and they revolt against him, and that's the end of the united Malchus, and you have Malchus versus Malchus Yehuda, and everything started going to pieces after that. So therefore, so this is the reward is over here that he should have. He shouldn't have benefesh oivav, that here his enemies would be here. These are not enemies of Rechavam per se, but they wound up being his worst enemies as with the advice they gave him. So therefore, so the schus is that a person shouldn't end up with such kind of advisors. What? No taxes. Yeah. Ben Yehoyada actually points out there is a connection. Why is the Gemara mentioning Dafka Naaman and Rechavam as examples? Because by both of them, we have a matter of gaiva. Naaman didn't want to listen to Elisha originally because he figured I need to ask him, and he needs to tell me to dip in the Yarden. And Rechavam also thought that people should be telling me what to do. And one had good advisors who told him don't be such a bal gaiva, give in. Whereas the other one had bad advisors who told him no, to show them who's boss, and we see what happened. Yes. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula.
So
he's she uhu means they gave him advice. Yeah, he should, actually it's a he she uhu really. Like hanocha she shiani va'oichel means they convinced him. Yeah. Yom Mashiach Ogo'ola, Chof Shvat. When we talk about believing in B'yas HaMashiach, so it has to be. We were talking about Chizkiyahu before, so look how much he trusted in Hashem. He says to Hashem, the Medrash mentions those four progressive things. You have David, also Yehoshaphat, and the fourth one is Chizkiyah, where Chizkiyah says, I don't even have the koyach not to kill the enemy, not to pursue them, not even to say Shira, I'll sleep in my bed, and Hashem, you'll deal with the matter. So here Sancheirev is besieging the city with his tremendous army, And he's promising that he's even willing to make peace as long as they surrender, v'chola v'chola, and still Chizkiyo had such total trust in Eibishter, he went to sleep calmly and then had a good night's sleep, not as if he's worried at all. And the Eibishter does the whole Mochama as the Malach defeated the whole Machne Asher. So in the same way that Eber talks about in a Sicha, in a similar vein, that's the kind of a bitochen that a person has to have in Bias HaMashiach, a complete 100% bitochen, no doubts. Even if any cheshbonah seems it's impossible, there's no way that it could happen, but teva, and that betochen itself helps bring Mashiach faster because of mamish. Amen. What's that story?
Come on, it's a fire. Get out of here.
Fire's left door
to my house. Wait,
yeah. Interesting. Okay. We started talking yesterday about the ginim of a yoledes on Shabbos. So now after she's given birth, the basic rules are like this. During the first 3 days after the birth, even if she says she doesn't need things of Chilul Shabbos, but you have, let's say, other women say, or the doctors say, or whatever, then you mechal Shabbos. After that, after the first 3 days, until the end of 7 days, even if she says Srichani, or she doesn't say anything and they don't know, then also mechal and aleil. But if she says I don't need, then you don't do things for her that involve Chilul Shabbos, even if other people are saying that, even if her friends are saying that they do. You follow the doctors and all these cases, but in other words, the difference is the first 3 days, even if she says I don't need it, you override her, whereas after that, if she herself says I don't need it, then you're not mechal Shabbos. This counts from the day of the birth. It's not 24-hour period. So for example, she gave birth on Wednesday, late in the day, and then Shabbos is already after the three days. If there's a certain chashash sakana, then if you want to count meesles, then lo hifsid, then it's not so bad either, and that's also a valid ground to say, because she has a weak constitution, then to say that you count meesles, and in that case, then you'd consider until the end of Shabbos is still within the 3 days, then fine. What happens after the 7 days, we'll learn about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.